I think roller derby is a hopeful thing.
He earned enough money from selling plants that he paid off the mortgage on his house.
People always want to know, is that a lie or is that the truth?
I completely disassembled this Triumph TR6.
I wish I could have been a professional woman soccer player.
I'm Martha Woodruth, and this is The Spark, an exploration of interesting people doing interesting things. Confession time yet again. I am a baseball nut. And so, in honor of the World Series, this week I'm talking by phone with Chicago resident Rob Arthur. Rob grew up in Harrisonburg, got his PhD in evolutionary genetics at the University of Chicago, and is still there as a postdoc doing cancer research. Is your idea of a good time thinking deeply, Rob?
Yes. I mean, among other things, I enjoy many things, but yeah, it can be very nice to just sort of ponder over a difficult question. So that's something that appeals to me.
So, you ask, what does Rob Arthur have to do with the World Series? Well, there's this great data-driven online arm of ESPN called 538 that was created and is still edited by rock star, statistician, and writer Nate Silver. And Rob Arthur recently became their baseball guy.
About 2 or 3 years into my PhD, I felt this need to have a more creative outlet because science is very appealing to me and I enjoy it a great deal, but it's sort of narrow in terms of what questions you can tackle. The writing, for example, in science is very particular and structured, and there's not a lot of creative freedom. It's not about writing stuff that's pleasurable to read. It's about writing stuff that's completely clear and completely obvious to the reader who may, have a less good grasp of English, or they may come from a very different culture. So the whole emphasis in scientific writing is on making it obvious what you did and how you did and what your results were.
Okay.
But in other kinds of writing, you can sort of be a little bit more fluid and play around with words more and play around with structures more.
Put yourself in it, have a voice.
Right, exactly. Yeah, and I think sort of the idea in scientific writing is you should really remove your voice from it. Everybody's mm-hmm. scientific papers should read the same so that, when you go into the literature, you know exactly what they did and it's not sort of contaminated by their own, worldview or own outlook. After a while in grad school, I kind of wanted to have a more open experience writing and also asking different questions, maybe not necessarily scientific questions. So I started a blog and I wrote about movies and about sort of evolution as well, but also I wrote about baseball.
And okay. After evolution, movies, and baseball.
Yes,
I like this. The big yes. three.
Yeah, it was fun, and it was just sort of a hobby for me, and nothing. I didn't have any particular long term goal in mind when I started it. It was just sort of a fun thing for me to do. And after a while, someone at Baseball Prospectus, which is a smaller site that covers baseball, found my blog and asked if I wanted to start writing for them. And so I thought, this is something I do as a hobby, but, maybe I could explore where it goes in a more professional way.
Mm-hmm.
And so I accepted, and so I started writing for them. And it turns out that Baseball Prospectus is the place where Nate Silver used to be the editor-in-chief. Nate Silver, who now runs 538 as the editor-in-chief.
Yes, Nate Silver.
The Nate Silver.
Yes.
So after about a year at writing at Baseball Prospectus, there was an opening at 538 for someone to write about baseball there, and Nate contacted me about doing that, and so I've been writing for them since about March, so last about 6 months. I guess what separates me from your average baseball writer is that I'm trying to take the statistics and the data from baseball. So everything essentially that happens in a given play is tracked in some way statistically. And so what I think separates me from the average writer is that I'm trying to take those statistics and sort of cut through some of the narratives and that sort of thing and really see what the data can tell us about baseball. And that fits with the general sort of theme of 538, which is to do some of the similar things but applied to many different subjects.
Are you talking about sabermetrics? Am I pronouncing it correctly?
That's right, yes.
Okay.
I would do sabermetrics, yeah.
Okay. And what can it tell us about baseball?
So much. I think one of the biggest new things that's in baseball right now, or relatively new, is this pitch FX data, it's called. It tracks the ball as it leaves the pitcher's hand, and then you know where it crosses the strike zone, or if it's outside the strike zone. And, I mean, that's just this tremendous untapped resource, and it can tell us how a pitcher is good, for example. And there's a lot of talk, you know, commentators can talk a lot about how a pitcher is good, but it's really interesting to see when you go to the data, what the data has to say about how a pitcher is good. Is it just that they throw overwhelmingly fast, you know, they have an incredible fastball, or they're doing something that maybe we're not so good at measuring now, like maybe they have a very deceptive release, or maybe they're very good at sequencing their pitches, throwing particular combinations in ways that confuse hitters. And by looking at the data, we can actually sort of unwind those skills and figure out how each pitcher versus each batter, how that battle goes on and what that means in the game as a whole.
Are you a Cubbies fan?
Yes, I am.
Condolences. Can you tell me from your point of view why the Mets pitchers were so dominating?
Well, they're awful young, and it turns out that they throw really, really hard. You know, the top three pitchers, Harvey, DeGrom, and Syndergaard, they all had average fastball velocities that were greater than 95 miles per hour, which is really pretty fast.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out that the Cubs hitters are especially vulnerable to those extremely fast fastballs. So when you look at how often the Cubs swing and miss against those fastballs, it's actually quite a bit higher than the average major league hitter. So it's sort of like it was their kryptonite.
Yeah. Why does this matter to you? Why are you hitching your proclivity for scientific research to baseball?
Part of it is that it's just fun. You know, I'm a curious baseball fan, like many baseball fans. And I have the expertise and the, you know, the skills to sort of track down some of these stories in a more objective, data-oriented way. So I would be doing it even if it wasn't my job. But the other part of it, though, that I think is really neat is that, you know, we're sort of in the modern world, we're being confronted more and more with data, and there's so much more data being collected. And sports is kind of a way into that sort of sphere, because everybody's curious about sports, and sports are sort of already rich with data. We already think a lot about data in baseball, for example. A batting average is really just sort of an estimate of how good a hitter is. So we're used to thinking about it in that context. And now we can take a sort of more nuanced and advanced view towards baseball statistics. Then maybe that's a way of translating some of this complexity of data science and statistics out into the world at large.
You'll find a picture of Rob Arthur and links to some of his columns on the Spark page at WMRA.org. As for the World Series, Rob says that in baseball, the better team wins only 55% of the time, and the Royals and Mets are pretty evenly matched.